something is wrong, and it's time to stand up. You are listening to The John Age Show.
Hello, and welcome, folks, to the very first episode of The Anomic Age. I'm your host, John Age, and I want to thank you for joining me today on this very first episode of the program. Hopefully you'll stick around for this one and a lot more to come. With any luck, the rest of them will be a little bit smoother sailing than this one's been. To be honest with you, it's been a long, long time coming. Man, if I were to go into all the eccentricities of things that have gone wrong just in today alone, not even bearing in mind that this program's been about 4 years in the making. This is pretty pathetic, but sadly, when this is not your full-time gig just yet, there's a whole lot of other hats you got to put on before you step into the proverbial chair and get anything actually mic'd up and working. Man, it's been an ordeal. Today alone, I understand. I used to kind of laugh when I'd see other people produce things, and even like big time shows, that's sort of like, oh man, they're freaking out over a microphone or a wire. I'm sorry. I apologize from the bottom of my heart. I understand now exactly why people get three or four different mics and cords and connectors and all other sorts of technological bits for the program. And it's really not because they're broken. It's oftentimes because they're inadvertently projected into other objects. That's what's up. I believe that's the truth. So, that being said, enough of that. We're here. We're going to make the most of it and the best of it. I was trying to combine those two words. We're going to make the most of it right about now. And kick off the very first episode of The Anomic Age. We're looking at December 6th, 2018, Episode 1. So excited about this whole deal, seriously. I want to thank you for joining me. Please, I hope that you are choosing to pick this up on iTunes. I'm guessing that's how most of you folks are checking me out right about now. I know I've got a lot of people on Twitter as well. That's at Anomic Age on Twitter. It's also the Facebook. It's the same stuff. So whether you're tuning in Facebook or Twitter, it should all be the same thing. It should be at Anomic Age on Facebook, at Anomic Age on Twitter. It's all on there. So feel free to check me out on there. And thank you very much for tuning in once again. Other folks that may actually know me will probably get to find my work on one of those two things. But most notably, you can also find me on the webpage, anomicage.com. That's it. That's anomicage.com, anomicage.com. And of course, at anomicage on Facebook or Twitter. I'm at a few other social media sites as well. To be honest with you, I'm trying to sort of curtail that, I guess you could say. I don't know. Social media is not really my thing. It's not as if I can't do it or don't know how. I just kind of don't want to do it. So to be honest with you, I didn't even get into any of that until Twitter not too long ago. So hence the reason I don't have 10,000 plus followers on anything yet, because I haven't really put any time into it. To be honest with you, I just didn't care. I think and know all that stuff for what it is. It's just a scam, a marketing scam to like give people free stuff so they can suck your data. And I was just kind of apprehensive, and I honestly had other stuff to do. So all my stuff's available there. But for my money, please check out my anomicage.com webpage. That's kind of my baby. It's good grief. It's been so long for this program to get off the ground. So at anomicage, Facebook, Twitter, and anomicage.com. AnomicAge.com on the URL. That'll take you there. That's kind of where all my stuff is. So I'd much rather you go there than waste time on these other social media platforms, to be honest with you. As I said, you can email me there. All my other social media links are there. You can download the programs from there. You can look at my guests. You can look at information about me. It's all there. So all that stuff's on the webpage, hanamakage.com. So please check that out, and thank you in advance. Other stuff, very first episode. Sort of the question that plagues everyone's mind when I sort of roll this whole program out to them. They always want to know, what's a nomic age? Or they say, are you saying atomic age? And I say, no, it's a nomic age. But the big question that's on everyone's mind, and to be honest, I mean, it's my own doing. It's just the webpage name itself and the site name and all, you know, all that stuff. It's all under the same banner. Yeah, and everyone's asking, like, what does that mean? I don't know. Most people don't know what the heck that means unless they're a weird sociology major or something weird like that. But for my money, it came from Emile Durkheim, which is the godfather of sociology and one of those founding contributors to anthropology as well. To be honest, I heard that name well over 2 decades ago, I believe, but it didn't stick in my brain. And when I was looking at show ideas and names and URLs and all this stuff, and I was sort of making this big list of, okay, I like this, I like that, this is what I want it to mean, this is what I don't want it to mean, and I made the short list and the long list of things that I liked, that was kind of one of them. And actually, it wasn't one of them to start with. I came up with a bunch of other names, and they all sounded too long or too short, or they were taken, or this URL is going to cost 10 grand, and I was like, forget about it, that's silly. So I kind of stumbled upon that one, and it stuck out in my brain, because my brain just immediately went, wow, that's what we're in. We're in an anomic age. I kind of made it by accident. You know, I found the word, and I said, yeah, we're in an anomic age. That's what we're in. You know, and this was definitely during the throes of the Barry Sotaro regime. So, I mean, it was by volume worse than it is now. Not just to say that now we're out of the frying pan, you know. We're still in a very much anomic age, but, you know, that's kind of where the name came from. Emile Durkheim is the guy that kind of coined that term, or if he didn't coin it, he absolutely fancied it and sort of brought it into the, I won't even say broader public domain, because that's not really accurate, because no one knows what the heck that means, but he at least brought it into the scientific world and brought it into a little bit more public domain than it once was. For my money, I do believe he coined the term, but I could be a little mistaken on that one. So some other fun stuff. That name in and of itself from Durkheim, he was really talking about suicide. He was talking about why people committed suicide, and one of his theories was what he termed as anomie, A-N-O-M-I-E, anomie, as basically just a condition in which society has little or no moral guidance. There's no values, there's no norms, there's no moral anything to individuals. It all just sort of has crumbled into this big morass of nothingness and just utter moral and social decay. And if you haven't been awake, or if you've been in some sort of coma for the last 25, 30 years, you might want to check into that, because that's exactly where we're at. We are, I won't even say we're falling. We are plummeting. We are on a rocket ship to hell, down a further, you know, just deep chasm of despair. That's really where we're at, man. We are going headlong into the anomic age. So every day, I mean, it's just funny-ish now. I don't want to even say it's really funny, because it's not. It's just sort of like my dark humor just sort of masks my overall sadness at where we are as a society. But yeah, I mean, I look at probably 20 headlines a day that make me go, yeah, we're in the anomic age right now. That's what we're in. I mean, I always kind of harken back to that, you might be a redneck, if you know what I'm talking about, that gentleman. You might be a redneck if. But, I mean, you could. I wish he would come out with a remix, and I would be happy to give him material for, you might be in the anomic age if there are trannies talking to your preschoolers and kindergartens about dot, 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 dot. you might be in the economic age if, yeah, you're living in 1984 with absolutely no privacy whatsoever. Everything's in a surveillance state. There is no privacy for your person, your place, your papers, your effects, nothing. It's all just, it's okay now. It's all right. Don't worry about it. We got it covered. Somebody's looking into it. Yeah. I mean, I could just keep going on, but I'll try to curtail what I'm sure will overflow later on in the program or in subsequent editions. But yeah, I mean, there's all that. So, I mean, that's kind of where the name came from. It just means normlessness, hopelessness, despair, the overall rot of the society that sort of, in Durkheim's theory, is sort of brings someone into isolationism and suicide. So, I won't even touch the while we're living in some sort of bizarre suicide death cult, because I think that's quite apropos as well, but I don't want to just jump off. I don't want to jump off the bridge too headlong right now. I'll sort of pace myself. So there's definitely all that. That's kind of where the name was contrived. And I really liked the name once I really... it took me a while to get to like it, because I sort of liked it, and then I was like, man, nobody's going to know what the heck that is. And then I sort of tossed back and forth. Well, that's kind of good. At least it'll be thought-provoking, hopefully, as long as people just don't say atomic age, and they think that my program's some sort of bizarre nuclear holocaust program, which it's not. We'll touch on that, but that's not the bread and butter of the program. So that brings to the point, what the heck is the bread and butter of the program? Well, the most mainstay of the program is just going to be the waterfront of political mishaps. It's going to be everything under the sun. So I hate to use the dreaded C word, but it's going to be conspiratorial. There's going to be a little conspiracy in there. And to be honest, I throw that parlance out there solely for other people's idle amusement and so that other people will, in some small way, hopefully grasp what the heck I'm talking about. Because I'm not talking ghosts or Mothman or aliens or any of that jazz. That's not the program for you, if that's what you think this is. So that's not it. That's not a conspiracy. That's something else. But nonetheless... you know, what the program's really going to be about is, yeah, you guessed it, government conspiracies. And I realize that's a CIA weaponized term from, I believe, 1967. And again, not that they created the term. Again, they weaponized the term. So, you know, they were trying to catch all those people that realized JFK wasn't shot by a magic bullet, nor Lee Harvey Oswald, or any one sole individual. It was a multitude of players. And they were trying to catch all those conspiracists. Under this big banner and sort of poo-poo the idea and give him the tinfoil hat moniker and in a more modern day version of that, they always hit the X-Files music or the Twilight Zone music on the MSM broadcasts when these sort of folks are talking. So yeah, that's how they've weaponized the term. But in a legal setting, anyone that's been in a courtroom or taken a criminal justice class or, hey, is a lawyer, knows that the conspiracy is a very real thing. You can conspire to commit murder. You can conspire to commit fraud and so forth and so on. So it's a very real term. It just basically means two or more people planning to do something nefarious, illegal, wrong, that sort of thing. So, yeah, all that's real stuff. You know, the MSM just likes to marginalize people that might actually question known liars. So if you question 9/11 or JFK or Oklahoma City or Waco or any of these things, if you question the original narrative, then you're a conspiracy theorist, and we must not conspire to be conspiracy theorists, right? Anyway, so we're going to talk about a lot of that. But make no mistake about it, the show doesn't stop there. We're going to get into kind of everything. I mean, I always sort of jokingly say everything, the waterfront of topics, true. We're going to get into all that stuff. So we're going to get into Christianity, religion, science, fitness, exercise, GMO, chemtrails, false flags, government cover-ups, that sort of stuff. All that and more in one big show. not really one big show. It'll be a litany of shows, I hope. This is just the first of many installments. That being said, I hope to get these shows out to you by Friday of each week. I'm going to start out with a once-a-week program as we build and gain momentum and followers and hopefully a little bit more revenue. I'd love to do this daily. I'd like to make this a full-time gig. So if you'd like to support any of those aspirations, feel free to go to anomicgage.com. There's a nice donate button down there at the bottom. As well, you can click on the Android or iTunes app and download the app to your device. I don't have a Patreon thing yet because this is obviously my first program. So as we build following and build programs, I'll definitely have a Patreon up there so you can actually get some material that's not privy to the rest of the world. You'll pay a little bit per month on that, and you'll get that. Also, hope to have a shopping cart up and going pretty soon. We've actually got some product here that's just kind of sitting there right now. I'm just kind of waiting to kind of get some things going and make some additions and some changes to the webpage as well. So that's all forthcoming also. Just a private plug for myself once again. So other things to talk about on the whole Anomic Age front. We talked a lot about what the show is going to be about and that sort of thing. So some of the obvious things that we could get into, we'll definitely have a news portion of the show, probably at the very beginning of the show each week. Again, this is just kind of the first foyer into the program, so it's just kind of be a dry run of letting you know what the program's going to be about, kind of introducing myself to the audience and get things running in that direction. But as it stands, normally we'll have a news portion of the show for a few moments, a little bit of social commentary by me. I'll try to keep it brief. And then we'll move into guests. We'll have guests probably each week. We'll have a lot of me as well, just sort of giving my own two cents. And to be honest, many weeks it just might be me. I mean, I like to talk, hence the program. So we'll definitely do that each week as well. A little bit of background on myself. I know I'm sort of introducing myself to a vast majority of you for the first time. My bio on the webpage is kind of self-explanatory, but I'll give you the cliff notes. John Age, obviously, as you've probably picked up on that, it's a bit of a nom de plume for reasons of security and insecurity. To paraphrase the great John B. Wells, we're going to keep this on a nom de plume basis as the moment portends. As we move on a little bit later, we might do real introductions and meet up for coffee somewhere. Or at a nice big venue, I don't know. But for right now, just for classified sakes, we'll keep it on that basis. East Coast, all my life, small coastal community in Carolina, absolutely. Kind of got awake at a pretty early age, I guess, or I'd say marginally awake. I kind of look at people who just say, oh, I'm red-pilled, I know it all. Or at least that's kind of the connotation I denote from that sort of, I've been red-pilled, I'm already wide awake. Yeah, I think, like, true to an extent. But at the same time, I think all of us are in a constant metamorphosis. It's a constant progression and catharsis of moments, I believe. Because I think the moment you sort of think you've got it all figured out and there's nothing new under the sun for you to learn, you know, it's definitely time to hang up your hat and just take your boots and stick them under the bed because, you know, I feel like I know a lot. I think I know most of what's going on, but every time I think that, I listen to something or I read something and I hear something new and I'm like, whew, didn't know that. That's crazy. Never heard that before. So that's what I mean by a constant awakening, I suppose. Yeah, at an early age, I think I had a lot figured out. And by early, I mean, I was like less than 8, 9, something like that, tops, I don't know. I mean, I attribute that quite a bit to my grandparents and my parents as well. You know, my parents were of the age where they grew up during the Kennedy years and assassination and post-date. My grandparents obviously sort of more of the World War II generation, so they had a whole lot to bring to the table in both regards. And although politics wasn't like the mainstay of any of our conversations at the dinner table, it was, or at least as I'd see it now, it was very much an underlying theme. It was like, oh, that's what that was about, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I picked up on a lot of stuff. I mean, I'd say the Kennedy assassination was that generation's 9/11. Or those two generations' 9/11s. So, you know, I got a lot of that, a lot of disbelief in the Warren Commission and disbelief in the single gunman Lee Harvey Oswald bollocks narrative. I can't even believe they still trot that mess out there and portend that that's even a semblance of reality, but I don't know why I'm surprised. Nonetheless, all that stuff, it's kind of what drug me to becoming more awake. And to be honest, I think I kind of went to sleep. I think I went through like semi-conscious states, you know, in pre-adolescence and then adolescence. Adolescence, I really got into a lot of punk and a lot of hardcore, which kind of drug me into what I now know is kind of more of a left stance. At the time, I didn't really have a concept of right or left. I didn't have a concept of that at all. I just had a concept of this morally right and wrong. So I didn't even know any of the right-left paradigm stuff until I was far older. Like in the, you know, when I was into the like early adolescence on into 20s, you know, era of my life, I was into tons of punk and tons of hardcore. So, I mean, any of you who know that are picking up on the sort of tip of the hat, as I called myself John Age, quite aptly after my program and after my webpage and after everything I'm sort of standing behind. That was kind of a tip of the hat to a lot of those punk rock guys and hardcore kids back in the day who kind of did that within their own bands. They would have like folks like Kevin Seconds, the singer for 7 Seconds, and Ray of Today for Youth of Today and things like that. So any people in the know kind of get that that's kind of a nod of the hat to those folks. But sadly, I think most of the people that I would know within those circles would totally think what I'm doing is blasphemous and crazy, because they're still really hung in that left paradigm, I suppose, that anything punk and hardcore has to be leftist, which is miles away from what I actually grew up thinking. But whatever, that's neither here nor there. That's their own cross to bear, not my problem. But yeah, I think I got semi-awake again in adolescence because of all the inundation of music that I was getting into, and it really woke me up to a lot of the, I hate to even use this term because it's so played out now, but a lot of real injustice, not social justice warrior bollocks, but real stuff. Yeah, it sort of woke me up to a little bit of that. I think I went back to sleep again, and then 9/11 happened, and I was like, huh, what happened in the 90s? I kind of missed a lot of the key elements of the 90s. I think that's why I spend so much time now focusing on those, like Oklahoma City bombing, the Waco incident, Vince Foster, and even the pre-90s stuff where we got things like Ruby Ridge going on. I mean, I think that's that whole decade and even that end of the 80s was like such a, you know, a transition to what got us here. And I feel like for my money, I kind of slept through that period, or at least wasn't paying attention as I should have been. So here we are like 20 plus years later, and I think I come back to that same element of that 10 plus year span, and I think, wow, in that 10 years, that really set the tempo for what we saw in the 90s with the Bush, not the 90s, in the early 2000s rather, with the Bush regime, and then we got the Barrett-Sotaro regime and so forth. So we saw, you know, the stuff that they got away with in the 90s, kind of like infancy of internet, you know, they had message boards but little else for communication. What they got away with there really served to spurn what was going on in the 2000s and beyond. So I've really come back to that, and I know as you watch the program and hopefully you follow it along and see the guests and the folks that we'll bring on, I think you'll really realize, you know, intentionally or not, I think that's a very central focus of a lot of the research and materials that I've looked into. I think it's kind of personal because I'm trying to re-catch the things that I didn't catch the first time around or lost, but also I'm just trying to really synthesize like how we got here. And, you know, I can do it by looking at things that are beyond my lifespan, you know, in the 40s and 30s and so forth. And I will, and I do, because that's very fascinating information and very integral to what we're talking about. But I think for me, I'm really interested in the 80s, 90s, and even the late 70s, because I'm a little old. All that stuff, I'm really interested in that because it really was going on during my lifetime. And I feel like that's very valid points that we should all know. We should at least grasp what's going on in our lifetimes, for Pete's sake, and definitely grasp what's beyond that. But, you know, I think I sort of hold those times a little bit dear, and I kind of look back nostalgically on them a bit. Not the 90s and the 2000s. I think we were kind of lost in the gutter by then, but nonetheless, some of those other times we sort of, or at least I tend to sort of nostalgically look back on. I know for my money, I think people think I'm nuts because I always say, you know, people ask me about a program or about shows, and I'm always like, yeah, I try not to watch anything from this century. I think it kind of freaks people out a bit, and then they're like, yeah, you don't watch it's Netflix. And I was like, nope, I think it's dumb. I think it's contrived programming, propaganda at best, and just really bad storylines, plots, and cinematography at worst. So that's kind of where I sit on that. I definitely love stuff from the 70s and a little bit of the 80s, but that's kind of where I stop, you know. My wife always pokes fun at me because I'm like not watching anything from this century. It's sad. And she's like, do we have to watch another 70s show? Come on. At least I think in those times, the 70s and 80s, the shows, although looking back, you can definitely pick out the propaganda and the shots they're making here and there. But overall, when you compare those two eras to what we got now and even 90s, like the propaganda is not even close to how bad it is now. The stories, the programming, the social engineering, if you look at them comparative to now, it's like apples and rocks. It's not even in the same family. It is nuts. So I think that's kind of why I really sort of gravitate towards things that are not in this lifetime. No, excuse me. Not in this century. Still in this lifetime. Nonetheless, other stuff and fun points to get into. Yeah, that's kind of where I got all that information and sort of kind of came full circle, I think, at 9/11. But honestly, I fell back asleep at 9/11 too. I mean, I remember, as we all do probably, like the inundation of information and the inundation of shock and awe and the shock doctrine, you know, if you're familiar with those two, shock doctrine and of course the fun parlance of shock and awe by old Bush baby. If you're familiar with that, I mean, that's what we were watching on TV for like at least a week straight. I know for my money, I had that on while I was going to bed. I used to always sleep with the TV on before I was more awakened. I would just sleep with the TV on and just sort of like veg out and go to sleep. And I remember after the 9/11 incident, I would have the TV on and like go to sleep with them talking about 9/11 and showing the explosions and the Twin Towers. Oh, excuse me. Showing the planes going into the buildings and the Twin Towers going down. I'd go to bed with that on. I'd wake up with that on. Go to bed with that on. Wake up. It was like a week straight of nothing but that. So if you don't think that we were getting shock doctrines with that, and basically some very clear trauma-based mind control with that, you are mistaken. That's exactly what we were getting. So I think, you know, I sort of caught on. I remember the narrative, and I'm sure most of you do as well, on the news broadcast, they were saying, oh, the planes hit the buildings, and all this jet fuel shot down the elevator shafts, and it was like some scene in my mind's eye. I was reminiscing, looking at The Shining, you know, where the blood is shooting down the elevator shafts and just like flooding the whole hotel. That's what I was envisioning, but with jet fuel. And I was like, oh, you know, when I first heard it, I was like, And I was like early 20s at that point. I was like, that's strange. Yeah, I mean, I kept hearing this narrative like it was just melting. The jet fuel was coming down like lava and just melting everything in sight. And I was like, man, that doesn't seem very plausible. Seems sort of strange. I don't know if I'm... Seems odd. It's kind of what I was thinking at the time. So truth be told, I kind of went to sleep. Said, all right, that's crazy. Kind of got awakened again, honestly, after undergrad and graduate school and all that horrible indoctrination, I was kind of just waking up to a lot of stuff again. And I was like, It was a very incremental awakening until I really like hit the tipping point, just dropped in, and it was like, woo, down the rabbit hole at jet speed. That's kind of where I was at, 15 years ago or more. And that's kind of what brought me where I am today. Absolutely. So it was a gradual awakening until I really started getting into it, and a lot of other things in between. We'll just sort of leave it there for right about now. But we'll touch on many of these things and many more to come in other great episodes. Kind of a little short this week. I'm going to roll it at like 30 minutes. Usually I'm going to have an hour plus, if not a little longer, episodes. For me, there's really no time limit on these things at all. I'm just sort of giving you a shortened dosage of information today, giving you a very basic rollout. Next time we'll get into a very normal Anomic Age, and we'll roll through the usual show format, and we'll kind of stick to that. But for right now and today, that's it for now. I want to thank you again for joining me. Please check out AnomicAge.com for all things me, program and otherwise, downloads, media, emails, social media links, all that stuff's there. Also the aforementioned social media sites as well. And I always encourage you to please donate on the AnomicAge.com. Please feel free. I've absolutely put a tremendous amount of work and money into this whole thing. You have no idea. So I guarantee you this is the first of many programs to come. Please hold tight and stick around with me, and I will do my best to keep propagating truth in a world of lies. Until next time, I will see you next week in the Anomic Age.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to AnomicAge.com. That's AnomicAge.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age. I'm gonna go to the next one.